Well, hey, you asked for this series, the topics, that is, of this series some months ago, and today is a topic that a lot of people want to talk about, and that is the end times. You know, what the heck is going on, right? A lot of people want to know. The world seems crazier. Is this just me? Just crazier and crazier all the time. And here's the reason why we're going to talk about this in church, this crazy world, is because one third of your Bible is prophecy. So a whole third of the Bible talks about coming events. And some of those have already been fulfilled, but a lot of it is about the end time. The very last days of the world and the new world to come. And one book in particular, just as we get started, in the Old Testament, I don't know if you've ever read this book, but it's a fascinating book. It's called Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was a prophet where most of what he talked about was futuristic. Things that were fulfilled, some of it, now this is big, when it's fulfilled in your lifetime. Because here's how we know if you're a prophet or not. We just watch, right? And if you predict something and it doesn't happen, okay, you're not a prophet. We can't trust you. But when you prophesy something and in your own lifetime it happens, people take note. And so that was Ezekiel. And then he prophesied. And here's I'll just clue you in. In Ezekiel 37, he starts talking about a rebirth of a nation. These bones are going to live again. And some of you were alive to see that. Because in the 1940s, someone tried to starve to death the nation of Israel. 6 million people were just flesh and bones in concentration camps. 6 million were gassed or burned alive. And it's a horrible Holocaust that happened. But afterwards, after World War II, a nation unlike any other nation the world's ever known came back to life again. And it was named Israel again. This doesn't happen, okay? But it did. And guess who talked about it? Ezekiel. Hundreds of years before Jesus, he prophesied it's gonna happen. They're gonna come back to life. Those bones are gonna come back to life. But then the next chapter, 38, he talks about then what will happen next. And he says they're going to be hated again. And armies of the earth are going to march against them. They're going to line up at their borders. And they're going to prepare themselves to invade. Now, when I used to hear about that, I thought, as a kid, because I grew up in this, okay, hearing about the coming of the Lord and prophecy and things like that. And so I thought, ain't no way my nation is going to stand aside and let Israel get toasted. It's just not going to happen. But I saw the Sunday Star, this Indianapolis Star back several months ago, anti-Semitism rising across the U.S. And what that means is this rising movement is like, hey, let them fend for themselves. Or who do they think they are, even, that they deserve anything? And so this is rising in our own nation, which makes me think, okay, Ezekiel's probably right. This is going to happen. and they're going to converge in the Middle East. And it's so fascinating that a little nation that's not even the size of Lake Michigan, okay, Israel's not even the size of Lake Michigan, can get so much attention on CNN and Fox and everything else. Don't you find that fascinating? Don't you think that's a little weird? That's a little strange that would command that much attention. And so today we're going to talk about something that is absolutely prophetic. And just to get started, I'm not going to be able to cover in 30 minutes everything that the Bible has to say about prophecy. So, and then good news is it will be done in about 30 minutes for some of you. But here's a couple books that I would recommend that somebody in the church gave to me as a gift. And these are real easy and simple to read. So you can quick take a picture of them or whatever, or look them up later or watch this later and get it so that you can maybe have those to read. But here's the bottom line. Here's what the doctrine of the church believes. Four things about Jesus, okay? Jesus is the only Savior, okay? He is the only Savior. He said it this way, that I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is a Savior. He is the healer. He can heal. He can heal of a stroke. He can heal of, I was talking to a guy yesterday. He can heal of heart problems. He can heal of all kinds. I talked to somebody just before the service. He can heal a person in their throat that had surgery coming up. And so now they don't have to have surgery. So he's the healer. He is a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He said, John said, and we're going to talk about this next week, he will baptize you with the Spirit. I baptize with water, but he's going to baptize you in the Spirit. And then Jesus is coming again. Okay. Jesus is coming again, because check this out. The Bible predicted the town that Jesus would be born in. It predicted where he would live. It predicted how he would die. It predicted things he would say when he was on the cross, from the cross. It predicted all that in detail. Now listen. There are more scriptures predicting he's coming again than there are that he came the first time. So you better get ready, because Jesus is coming back again. Can I get a good amen, right, church? So here's why we believe it. Here's why I believe it. Jesus said it, okay? Jesus said it in John chapter 14, verse 1. Here's what he said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And boy, isn't it easy to get your heart troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, notice this, it's for you, I will come back. I'm getting ready to leave, but I will come back. And notice what he's going to do. He's going to take you to be with him so that you also may be where he's at. He wants you with him. I said, Jesus wants you with him. The reason he's coming back is not to whoop up on the world and put everybody in their place. Now, that's going to happen. But the real reason he's coming back is he misses you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to be where he is. See, he lived 33 plus years on this earth, and he preached and taught the kingdom of God. And then he died a sacrificial death for you. He should not have been crucified. They tried, even Pilate said, we don't need to do this. I don't want to do this. I'm washing my hands of this. That this shouldn't even be done. But it happened, and the reason why it happened is because it had to fulfill prophecy. But then Jesus rose from the dead. And then he spent 40 days, okay? He didn't just come out of the tomb and go up. 40 days he went around and preached and taught the things of God. And said, this is why I had to get crucified. This is what the prophets were talking about. You need to get ready because you're going to be my proclaimers. You're going to tell this good news. And the good news is you don't have to pay for your sin. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. That's good news to me. I don't have to pay for my sin. Look at this. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud covered him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly, everybody say suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up in the sky? Notice this. This same Jesus. In a few months, we're going to be celebrating baby Jesus. But that baby Jesus who grew up, died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, that same one is coming back. He's coming back. And he'll come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Here's what scripture teaches. Jesus went up and he's coming back. And it could be any day, especially in light of Ezekiel's prophecies being fulfilled right in our lifetime, right before us. Did you know there's been more advancement of the gospel in the world in the last 50 years than the previous 1974 years? Did you hear what I said? In the last 50 years, it's gone to places it's never gone before. As a matter of fact, 193 sovereign nations on the earth, and all but about 17 of them have pockets of revival. I'm talking about Muslim countries. I'm talking about countries that I've heard stories about that I can't tell you, especially not on the internet, that are happening in our world today. There's an advancement of the gospel. In many countries, new births in Jesus outnumber normal births, physical births. There are more people being born again than being born. There's a massive, massive revival that is happening around the world. And I want you to know, we are a part of it. We're a part of it. I want to throw up a picture of a guy that I met when I was just recently down in South America. And this is Pastor Alberto. And Alberto was a successful pastor in Argentina and has been and growing churches and planting, and he's successful, just seeing God move just like us here in Avon. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to go to this town. There's 2 million people there, and listen to this. They don't have an evangelical church that's reaching the community. 2 million people. And you know what Alberto said? I'll go. So he left his church, his successful, wonderful, thriving church, and said, I'll go. And now God is stirring in that community, and this Christmas offering, part of our offering, is going to help Alberto to have a strong, vibrant church in North Argentina to reach the unreached and tell the untold. Come on. It's awesome. We get to do that. We get to do that. There are 300 references in the New Testament, over 300, of the return of Christ, that Jesus is coming back. It's a massive thing. 23 out of 27 New Testament books talk about it. Paul said on one occasion to Timothy, he said, you'll know when you're getting close. Now, this is when Paul's about to die. So he's kind of getting people ready. And he says, here's how you'll know. In the last days, there'll be perilous times. People will be more selfish than they've ever been before. In the last days, it'll be perilous times. I think when some of us who've been alive of more than one or two decades, and we see the trajectory of the way America is going. I'm not talking about what happened last week or whatever. I'm talking about trajectory of where we're going, of where the American family is going and our nation is headed. When we see that, I would concur that it's perilous times. How about you? It's perilous times. There's moral decay. There's violence. There's the love of many growing cold. And Paul says, you better be prepared. And here's what I want to do today. I want to get you prepared because this should be a message of encouragement and comfort if you know the Lord. Now, there are some people who, when you talk about something like this, people are like, Pastor Craig, could you not talk about that? Because that just makes me nervous. That makes me antsy. You know, when you start talking about what's going to happen, I'm fearful about that. But I want you to know today, you don't have to be. You don't have to be afraid. You can be encouraged today. And that's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Here's what's going to happen. Just like the angel said, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead are going to wake up. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up. Everybody say caught up. I'll come back to that. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Now, so what do? You encourage one another with these words. He says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, I want you to know, that's not the Methodist, okay? That's a bad joke, isn't it? But it's the ones who are vibrantly alive in their spirit while they were on this earth. Their bodies are going to be caught up to a new body and be refashioned and formed. Jesus' body, after his resurrection, it appears, could maybe walk through walls, could appear wherever he wanted to, because all of a sudden the disciples would say, whoa, he's here. And we had the doors locked. How'd you get in? He was able to do whatever. It's amazing things that he was able to do. But this word for caught up in the Greek is the word harpazo. And this word means to snatch or to seize. It's like in a split second, faster than your eye can see. Now, it's kind of like when you play a card game with your life group. Maybe you've done this. And it's one of those games where, you know, you call out, and then everybody's got to reach into the pile in the middle, and there's one less card than people around that, I mean, know what I'm talking about. And our spoons or something like that. And, you know, everybody's got, how many know you've never seen people move so fast, right? Quicker. They can't hardly walk to their car, but man, they can move when you play that game. And so, it's like that grabbing. He's going to snatch in a split second of time. He's going to take his people to himself. And before that happens, here's what the Bible says. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And that's what's happening in Asia, in Africa, in South America, all over the world, even pockets in Europe are coming back alive again. What is happening today? God is pouring out his spirit, and I say, Lord, if you're doing that, please don't pass America. Please don't pass Avon, Indiana. Please don't pass us up. Pour it out here. Come on, yes. Let it fall on us, because God's coming back for his family. He's coming back for his people, and he wants to adopt somebody into his family today. It might be you, that he wants you to be a part of his family. See, the world, though, the world's got a plan for you. The world has a plan that you are just a bunch of microbes who somehow accidentally came together once upon a time, fashioned themselves into something that was swimming in the water. And then after it swam in the water and developed itself, it got up out of the water and started learning how to breathe oxygen. And then it started crawling around and climbing, and it grew a tail. And one day it got up in a tree and was swinging around on its tail, and its tail fell off. And it fell down to the ground and turned into a man. And then that's how you came about. You're nothing more than a bunch of molecules that have accidentally come together. Oh, I want to tell you today, you are more than just a bunch of molecules that came together. You are a creation of Almighty God, made in his image. You're a child of destiny, made in the Imago Dei, the image of God himself. And the Bible starts with us living in harmony with God, and guess what? That's how it ends, with us living in harmony with God. Revelation chapter 21 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. How many can't wait? Right? It's going to be better than this one. The first heaven, the first earth, had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven for God. And watch this phrase, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell, what? With them. He wants to be with you. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I want you to know there'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more heart disease. There'll be no more blood disease. There'll be no more headaches, no more migraines. No more life insurance. You're not gonna need it anymore. God longs to be with you. He's anxious to be with you. His motive for coming again is to be with you forever. That's what he wants. No matter who you are today, he wants you to be ready. He wants you to be ready for that moment. I know some of you live in a mess. I know some of you, if we were to talk to you today, you'd just say, I'm a hot mess. I'm just a hot mess. And I don't care if you're a hot mess or a cold mess, okay? God will take your mess and turn it into something majestic by his mighty power, because that's who he is. Can I get a good amen, right? Nobody loves you more. Nobody loves you more. And listen, here's the thing. He is coming back, but when is he coming back? Are we living in the last days? That's a big question. Are we living in the last days? Pastor Craig, what do you think? Are we living in the last days? Here's what I want you to know. You're living in your last days. I'm living in my last days. None of us know how many more days that'll be. And so what we've got to do is we've got to make sure our days count, right? And here's what the scriptures talk about. We got to live prepared. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when Paul's talking about this coming again. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I'll just let Paul talk, all right? He wrote over half the New Testament, so he's more of an expert than I am. And here's what he says under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He says about times and dates, we don't need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying this, oh, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, okay, church, are you listening, church? Here's what Paul says to you. You're not in darkness, that this day should surprise you like a thief. You're all children of light and children of the day who do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, who one day they're going to be shocked by what happens. Oh, we're not going to be shocked. We're anticipating it. We need to be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, the hope of salvation as a helmet to guard our heads. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died, what? For us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, he's talking about whether we're dead or alive, we're going to live together with him. Therefore, watch this, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. He says, we don't know when, but we know who. We know who's coming back, and we know the season. And we say, you know what? Israel just became a nation, and they're already one of the most powerful nations on the earth, and it just irritates most of the world to death. And it wouldn't take much to get us in a World War III, would it? It wouldn't take much for us to be engaged in what Ezekiel talked about. And so here's what I want to do in the next few minutes. I want to get you prepared. I think that's my job as your pastor, so that if I disappear today, okay, the staff, we talked about it. What if we just turned the lights out and there was a noise and you saw my clothes float from the ceiling onto the stage? How many are glad we didn't do that today, right? Some of you be. But one of these days, could be today, that's going to happen. So I want you to get ready for the day I disappear, because it could be today. And we need to be encouraged until it happens. Here's how we get prepped for the end. Here's the first step. Be right with God. You need to be right with God. If you're right with the Lord, you're excited about this message. You're like, good, I don't have to pay taxes anymore. I'll never be sick again. I'll see my grandma again. I'm going to see some people I've never even seen. I'm going to walk with Moses. I'm going to get to talk to him and say, what was that like when you did that? It's going to be incredible. So this message excites you, and it should. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says this, the end of all things is near, so here's what y'all do. Be clear-minded, self-controlled, and so you can pray. We ought to be a praying people, not just during 21 days of prayer. We ought to be preparing our hearts every day. Oh, Lord, today could be the day. Today could be the day when we see you again. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 says, let us rejoice and be glad. Give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. His bride has made herself ready. Hey, it doesn't matter. I've talked to brides. It's so funny. A wedding in our family just this year, they were like, oh, it's just going to be simple. It's just going to be simple, you know. And then they start talking about how many people were going to stand up with them. There were like 10 on each side or something like that. And I was like, oh, my goodness. This doesn't seem so simple to me. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And I talked to the bride just a month or maybe just a few weeks before, and she was like, oh, there's so many details. And I wanted to say, I thought this was going to be simple. This was going to just be simple. But how many know when a bride's getting ready, oh, she wants everything just right. And that's how the scripture pictures it. You and I need to be getting ready. We need to be getting prepared. We need to every day say, oh, this could be the day. This could be it. This is the last time I'm gonna have to wear makeup, ladies. Right? It's gonna be the last time I gotta put that mascara on that takes me so long, or whatever. This is the last day that I'm going to have to shave. This is the last day that I'm going to have to do all this stuff. This is the last day I'm going to have to pay these gas prices or egg prices or anything else. Because this could be the day my Savior comes. How many are excited for that, right? Peter says it again. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. See, you can't get ready after it happens. You can't get ready. You got to be ready before. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything, your car, your house, your dream home, your designer clothes, your designer watch, your designer handbag, since everything is going to be gone and be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be now? You ought to live holy and godly lives. See, are you living? Let me ask it this way. Are you living like Jesus is coming back today? Are you? Because he could. And here's the second thing, is you need to be connected to godly people. Oh, this is huge. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. So offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. God's plan is that you would be connected to other people in his family. You need to get along with God's family because you're going to live forever with them one day. Hello, somebody. So get ready, get ready. And here's what Hebrews says. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more, notice this, as you see the capital D, day approaching. What is that? It's a day of the Lord, the Bible talks about. When Jesus returns, when he comes back. So here's what you need to do. He says you need to commit to be with God's family. Well, where's God's family? We're right here. And by the way, we're right here every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Come on, somebody. Hey. This happens every week. I just want you to know. Happens every week. And so you need to be here, and you need to go to Growth Track. You say, well, why do I need to do that? Because you need to be connected into God's family. You need to be a part of a life group. You need to be doing life with other people. You need to be here. And I'm just telling you, if you're having a hard time living for Jesus now, wait till all of us are gone. Think about that. You'll have a hard time then. In isolation. And here's the third thing, is be making a difference. Oh, help us to hear this, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4 says each one should use whatever gift he has received, how? To serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Come on, church, say a big amen, right? For his glory, for his honor. Check this out in Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says this. And these are some of his last words to his followers. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. You see, I believe that he's about ready because the whole earth is getting filled with his glory. Even, and again, I just want you to know, even a nation where you think he can't move there, he's moving there. Okay? I'm not even going to say the name of it. He's moving there because he's moving in all the earth. And here's what he's looking for. He's looking for people that are moving with him, right? That are on the move. How many are on the move with God, right? How many want to be a part of a church that's on the move with God? That's why this year, I'm so excited in this miracle offering, the end of this year. I was just there. I was just talking to the missionaries that we're getting ready to give to. And they're going to go and reach places that have never been reached before in the history of the world. But it's going to happen. And we get to be a part of it. Two things today. Either you need to get ready because it's going to happen. You either need, you're one of two people here. You need to get ready, or you need to be getting other people ready, helping them to be prepared for what's going to happen. Let's pray. Father, help us today, those of us who know you, to think about more than just ourselves. Oh, we're excited that one day, could be today, we'll be with you forever. No more sickness, no more illness, no more of the suffering. A new creation, a new earth, a new heaven. Maybe you're here today, and maybe God's speaking to you and saying, hey, how about your coworker? How about your family member? How about your friends? How about your fellow students? How about the people in your life around you? How about that random connection? Maybe it wasn't so random after all. And if you're here today and you say, oh, Craig, I want to be doing everything in light of the fact that the Lord could come back today, I want to be doing all I can to get everybody else ready for that great and awesome day. If that's your prayer, would you just raise your hand with mine today and just say, oh, yes, Lord, anoint me today, fresh and new, to reach my friends, my coworkers, my neighbors. Father, use us. Use us in light of the fact that you could come back next week or in the next 10 minutes or in the next 10 years. How should we be living? God, do more than just convict us today. Change us today. Maybe some of you are here and you're not ready. You're not ready. Me talking about this kind of puts you on the edge. And you think, oh, if it is true, I'm not ready for that. I want you to know you can be ready. And you can with confidence live each day, anticipating that this could be the day that the Lord returns. And if you want to have that kind of anticipation, not fear, but faith, and positivity about that trumpet call. If you want to be ready for that moment, Will you just raise your hand right now and say, oh, yes, I want to be sure. I want to be certain. I want to know him personally. Yes, hands all over this room while they're doing that. Online, just type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you. As a matter of fact, everybody, pray this prayer after me so those who raise their hands will pray it too. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus that very first time on a mission to save me from my sin. I believe through his death on the cross, he paid for all of my sin. And today I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Wash my past away and make me new. And help me to be ready for when you come back any day. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those.